Hello, Shady Gang.
Hello, Shady Gang.
Hello, Shady Gang.
Hello, Shady Gang.
Tarek here.
Shoppy Charlie here.
Prunk Chocolate here.
Lando here.
And I want to personally invite you to our
first live and in-person event
on April 20th, 2024.
Live and Lit Chicago will be our chance to connect with you in a truly unique,
one-of-a-kind experience. We will be hosting a three-course breakfast,
a watch party for Man City vs. Tottenham,
and more to be announced later. You can purchase your tickets,
pre-order merch, or simply donate to our event on GiveButter.
Tap the link in the post or scan the QR code on the screen.
We want to thank our friends at FanFest Live for being our official event sponsor. Damn, they do a great job.
I look forward to getting live and lit with you in April.
You know the vibes.
Shady Gang.
Shady Gang.
Shady Gang.
You got the men on here first? Is that the way we're going?
Yeah. Here you go. Changed up. Oh, get loose. Oh, man. Speaking of, I did hot yoga for the first time last week.
Ooh.
That was a fun experience. The yoga instructor said I did pretty good for my first time. She was surprised. I was like, hey, let's go. I was just watching everybody else. It's nice. It definitely kicked my ass. So there were some moments where I was like, just like shaking.
Yeah.
Ooh, good. It was hot too. That towel. Ooh, that was my best friend for that hour. My best friend. Going back though. So
it was a, there it was, you go, Kronk. Good for you.
Oh, my best friend. You all will meet him in Chicago. He's a super yogi. He does it like 3-4 times a week. He's about that life. He was like jumping into stances and like hit the shit. I was like, all right, bro. It was cool seeing my friend in his habitat, you know, because
yeah,
that's what he does. But he always hear him do it, watch him shine. I was like, all right, that's cool. He teaches and stuff like that. And I now fully understand why.
That's dope.
Let's get it, cause I ain't got nothing. I just got some pep quotes. It's a vibe. We beat down Luton. We confirmed what we've been doing for years. Manchester's blue. There's really no reason for me to. It's vibes, like I said. So no need to tell you guys to get your shit together, because I mean, I could just be saying that every single week to the general people whining and complaining about things. But also, actually, I lied. I want to get into this. Lando, you said you saw a little some about Jamal Musiala.
You want to bring that up real quick? Yeah.
I do. This is what I actually want to cold open with. I'm going to cut it this way. So,
well,
yes, please go on. Yeah.
So one of the first things I had to do this morning before the Derby was get an opportunity to think of Kronk's beautiful face when something came across my timeline. And it's important to note that this is a name that Kronk's been talking about a little bit, Jamal Musiala. Jamal Musiala has turned down contract extensions with Bayern Munich. City, we're in the know, we're aware of the situation, and talks are progressing. Simple as that. Talks are progressing. This is something that Kronk's has talked into existence from day one. He has been the captain of this bandwagon, and anyone else who wants to jump on in, come through Kronk, all aboard, because this man has been a pioneer for this.
No, y'all won't. Verts, nada.
You're not letting us in.
Oh no! Oh no! Welcome. No, he's gonna. The second he puts Sky Blue on, he's obviously make this bandwagon as big as possible.
Yeah,
yeah.
It would be pretty dope if he comes, because he wears 42, and so you have a 42 with the 47.
Oh my gosh! Cold.
Very cold.
But have we had a 42 since you know who?
Oh yeah, I feel like it's a beautiful thing that we just raid the Bundesliga every year. Like, they are feeder league. It's like, thank you so much. We will come. You know where you want to go. going back to Gundo, we appreciate you, Dortmund. You've done us well, so well. Like, well, I'm a Dortmund supporter. Fuck Bayern. Like,
for sure.
I'm with the BVB, baby. Love y'all. And then Bayern, thank y'all. If y'all want to send us Musiala because y'all want to be broke, it's what it is.
You've started all the stale and the boring over there, man. There's only so many ways you can dress up mayo.
Well, I mean, Charlie, does it hurt you more to think that it's not even the fact that they're broke? It's the fact that you're trying to have the convos. You're the big bad Byron. He's German. Now, we know that he has English background, right? He actually came up in English academies, I think Chelsea and Southampton, if I'm not mistaken. So he's actually been in English football before, but it's not a broke situation. It's simply them telling you, you're the German powerhouse. We have you. Like, we can do this. Lock in your future, and your future wants to go away.
Oh, I'm sorry. I missed the letter. They're not broke. They're broken. Because they keep firing.
Oh, my God.
That's what it was. I'm sorry. It's late. They continue to make mistakes in the board level, and now the players are gone. Davies is going to Real Madrid. They're talking to Sané leaving, like basically getting all the brothers out, except the young one tells. But like, that's what's happening. Like, why would I want to stay around for a project when I'm about to hit my peak? Like, I want to go to where we win things. I want to keep winning, and I want to play at the highest level. You come to Man City for that. So,
Nas level bar. That's fire. Broken.
You got any thoughts on Musiala at all? Have you seen anything about the player?
No, not really. I've only seen, and you know, I know our conversation on here, but I've not seen anything that says he is or he isn't. So I trust whatever you all are seeing. So I think he appears a very exciting. He's an exciting prospect, and maybe prospect is still a little, maybe I shouldn't even use the word prospect because he seems to be more proven. But if he does in fact come, I think it's going to be exciting times. Of course, then the question becomes, where do we play him and all that kind of stuff? But that's a conversation for a different day.
Great. We're making art over here, baby.
I hate the most is when you don't want the ball. I hate it. You have permission to make a mistake. You have permission to lose. You have permission.
And that's when we get big.
Yeah, I'm a genius.
Attack everyone and send everyone.
I think we're forgetting the most important thing. We're forgetting about focusing just on ourselves.
You can do better. You need to take the next step, and there's no better place than taking the next step here.
Show ourselves out there how much we want to win it again.
We win 4 of the last 5 Premier League, guys. 4 of the last 5 Premier League. Are we going to do it again?
Don't ask me again about doubles, triples, quadruples, fifth-tuples, sixth-tuples, and seven-tuples. So...
don't. Do it. Hey, and welcome to episode 91. Woo! Of Shades of Blue. The niggas my numero, not the 3, not the 2, I'm the UNO. We are the most comprehensive show about Manchester City, covering both the men and women's game, spanning both sides of the Mason-Dixon line. We make an art over here, capitalize the A. I am Crunk Chocolate. Here with Landon, Terry, Sharpie Charlie. How's it going, show bros? How we feeling?
It's a great day to sing the blues, baby.
Lego.
You know the vibes. Before we get into anything at all, excuse me. Before we get into anything at all, what I need for you to do right now, if you're watching on YouTube, hit that thumbs up, subscribe to the channel if you haven't, show some love, leave a comment on what you thought of the episode, maybe retort to something one of us said, Let's say you're listening on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Good Pods, any podcast streaming service that allows you to rate and review. 5-star rating. Love the review. Appreciate you. Another week of amazing shows for you, Shady Game. Big week of shows. Breaking Bread on Wednesday for Manchester City versus Liverpool. Kyle Carr, Scouser, writer for Brew Hoop, a blog site covering Milwaukee Bucks. A Flamingo supporting forward Madison. Shout out to the Henny Derby. Kyle will be joining us to chat Liverpool and dissect the upcoming fixture. Let's stream on FanFest Live this Thursday, the most dangerous show about football. Our most up guests are Adam Merritt, writer for Esteemed Company, covering Manchester City, a most dope person I met through Footy Threads, another person. Well, let's try that again because I threw that all together. No pause. Wow. Our most dope guests are Adam Merritt. He is a writer for Esteemed Company, covering Manchester City. I have Jonathan Tolbert. He is a most dope person I met through Footy Threads on the app Threads. And then lastly, two-time lit streamer planning on. Wow. Whoa. Get it together, Crunk. What's going on? I don't know. What's going on? Lots of editing.
Got some Dr. Pepper.
The Holland first half.
We're okay. We're okay.
Take your time. Okay. And lastly, a two-time lit streamer, planning editor for the New York Times, lover of Americana, honky-tonk music, Oklahoma State University sports, and Manchester City, Josh Kirchmer. No topics off limits, no thoughts held back. And then Sunday, both City men and our baby blue baddies play on Sunday, 45 minutes apart, which is why we are hosting a mega watch-along for both matches, starting at 9:30, covering what you need to know about Man City Women's Super League match against Tottenham before the kickoff. Leads right into the men. We'll just go back and forth. Double excitement. It's going to be a good time. It's a chance for a six-point Sunday for Manchester City Football Club. And then we get our U.S. tour. We're, you know, a little Midwest, the D.C., Chicago, K.C., those 3 dates, we're doing most dope things in those. We have the links in the show notes. Each one, it should be there now. I've updated my little, like, pre-planned. I just got to copy and paste it now. I did some work. I did some, like, behind-the-scenes things to make my life easier. It was beautiful. I'm excited for posts now in the future. Oh, man. But let's get into some football. This is Luton Town. I am excited. I got a few clips. Naturally, Pep was asked about Oscar Bob. Did I play this last week? Was he asked about this last week? It's just been a really long week. No. Okay, cool.
Application, yeah. His application will not be here. His commitment and work ethic and the most difficult part is now for Oscar. Arrive, make an impact, and play there is the easiest one. The really difficult one is to stay there for a long time, and the minutes you play, being perform well, to earn more money, more minutes, money as well, more minutes, and after that, that is the part most difficult.
Young man is getting paid. He's focused. Just excited that Oscar Bob is a citizen for a while. Tarek, you weren't here last week, right? What's your thoughts on Oscar Bob? What?
I think I was here last week. Was I here last week? I don't know. Yeah, I've been all over the place. I think I was here last week. But my thoughts about Oscar Bob is I'm excited that we have locked up and secured his future for the long term. I think it gives him, I mean, he had a decent amount of time still remaining on his contract, but now we know that his future lies with us. And so we get to see him continue to blossom, continue to develop, continue to grow. And I think we've seen really good things out of him thus far. But the future is so bright for that kid. You know, he's a full international with Norway. So should be good times for him.
Well, let's just continue the heap the positive thoughts on Oscar Bobby, if anybody has any.
I think it's really cool. Hey, we love, you know, Academy products. And yes, he came later in his development to the Academy, but still, you know, a true Academy product. To see like this pathway for City, right? You have some kids that a Phil can break through at 17. Very hard to do. But normally it's that 19 to 21 age where you can really like make your imprint and say like, hey, I'm a serious first team player. And once you earn that keep, Rico last season, Cole Palmer before, you know, like Phil did it. He really started to show around this age, around 20. It's like, okay, now we know we can lock you up. And now you're saying, hey, I'm going to lock you up through your early 20s. And right at the peak of your prime, theoretically, we can lock you up again. And so, like, it's just, it's simple, but it's important to have that type of foresight. You don't want to just be reactive. You want to be proactive. And honestly, I get more confidence every time we get one of these players that locked up for all the people we let go, all the people we put out on loan. It's like, no, we keep the gems. We keep the true diamonds. There are some other emeralds out there. There's some rubies out there. But if you are a diamond, you stay here, and we're going to take care of you. And that's what the kids are seeing. It's like, hey, if I do what I'm supposed to do and I go work hard, apply my craft, and, you know, really shine, I will be rewarded with a City shirt. But you have to earn it. And we only keep the best of the best because of standards. So I'm really happy to see it.
And to just reinforce Charlie's point, it's beautiful when those players continue with the process, have the fortitude to stay positive during tough situations where they're not getting the play. And then they get moments with Newcastle where they get a super sub and they get that moment to where they've really kind of put a little notch on their belt. They've proven themselves. They've kind of shown that they can go ahead and step up to a plate. And I look forward to have more of those. I look forward to have more of those moments with Oscar Bob. Light now, right? Touches. The next few years, I hope to have a lot more throughout the season. Similar to a young Phil Foden. A young Phil Foden, guys, who I think is a name we're going to be saying a lot today, huh? What do you think, Krunk?
Well, it's funny. We are having this conversation. Pep, before United, was asked a lot about academy players and what it means, and there's no better time to play that than now, honestly, because it just fits our conversation.
You know, foreign players come or when other clubs, they need a little bit time to adapt. Here, it's like it's a home, you know? They know the reaction of the fans, they feel comfortable, they know the way they had to play, and it's click quick. So it's happened, it's right. And PSG United players or Liverpool players or Chelsea players would happen. You have something that even I think they believe it belongs to me. It's mine. So it's my home. If you protect, you know, from the academy, from the first team, we give them confidence. They will join, settle really good in the first team, in the seniors, people. It's easy.
I was going to try to figure out how I was going to fit that in. And you beautiful show bros, you just lined it up right for me. Look at you. Look at you. I appreciate you so much. Awesome. Oh, what were you going to say? What were you going to say, Lando?
Well, I'm just thinking that's a beautiful quote. I love the family paternal type of feel that he's giving there and the take ownership at a youth. A lot of the outside looking in talk about our youth is it's just another way that you guys spend. All you do is spend on guys and bring them in at a young age and then resell them and this thing. But to hear Pep say that, to see for ourselves and other snippets where youth players or youth games are going on, and when he gets a chance, he's there. He watches those youth games, you know? So I love to hear that from our manager.
And shouts to the U18s. I believe we're going to have a Man Garvey PL18 final. Is that right? I think I saw somebody tweet that.
That was us. Yep. And what I enjoyed very much about that whole conversation, because it was a long, long conversation, because people were asking multiple questions and he was in his bag about it, because it really was like, because it's not just about me, it's everybody Everyone has to do their part all the way down to the academy. And this is what I love about the academy. And I've experienced it when I was in Spain with Barca and Germany with Bayern. It just works. Don't tell me or ask me to explain why it works, but just something about it works. And then he said what he said. Man's was spitting. He had a nice little quote about the I don't care about cup also.
Incredible final, Carabao. Congratulations, both teams. It was an incredible game, a transitional game, chances for both.
Hold on. By the way, it was a transitional game. That's those shots that Pep gives you that usually go right over people's head. It was a transitional game. It was basically saying there was no defense, there was no tactics. They were just running up and down the pitch.
Both teams, incredible spirit. I remember when I arrived, Brian Kidd told me, Carabao Cup, or before, don't pay attention, play the young players, so nobody cares. Carabao Cup. Sir Alex Ferguson always said, it doesn't matter. Oh, I don't know what happened last year. It looks like the final, I don't know which competition. This is the truth. Every team play for win, win, and win. It's really, really tough. Continue to be there.
Beautiful gowns. Pep said, beautiful gowns. I love that man so much.
Beautiful gowns is a great callback. He said, look, y'all, that was cute. Like, when you told me it didn't matter, but apparently it does. So when we win four in a row, people say, oh, it's just the city, it doesn't matter. But now that Liverpool wins one, or went back-to-back years, two out of 3 years, whatever, it's like, oh my gosh, like, they're winning trophies. I thought the trophy didn't count.
He basically said,
is it Uchiwali or is it one Mike? Make it make sense. I don't know. Is it Uchiwali Nas or is it one Mike? What is it? Because I'm confused. But we're done with that. We don't care about that cup no more. We're on the bigger and better things.
But I just think, to the point, I think there will be other teams fans will say that Pep's comments were bitter or whatever. But I just think you got to put that out there and expose the fake, right? You got to expose everybody that's out there saying X, Y, and Z. Where was y'all at autumn years? We was winning it every, back to back, four in a row. Don't come out now and say how wonderful it is if you were saying it wasn't nothing before. Let it still be nothing. So I just think you got to, every now and then you got to line folks up and put them on blast. And so, Pep did his thing.
Love it. All right, let's get into the match. We can go wherever. There are so many goals. I don't really know where to start, because do you want to talk about each and every goal? What was your favorite goal? Which goal sung to your spirit the most? Maybe I feel like the first one I very much enjoyed because it started the game off pretty early in it at that. Akanji's run. Nunez out wide. Had people freaking out, basically saying that he needs to replace Doku. I'm over it. But I just enjoy. It was just establishing the energy that, hey, Luton, I know we struggled with you guys earlier in the season. What y'all have done, it's cute. Manager, he's cute. That's whatever. But we're here. We're champions. We're in champion mode. You're about to see that there's levels.
I'm going to start real quick, Crump, with the lineup, because I was super happy to see Foden and Rodri get rest, because we know what Rodri is. If he's healthy, he's playing. And Foden has been like the talisman, right? Most minutes in his career. And so I think when we talked before last week, it was like, hey, is he going to play? And I thought Rodri would play because it's like, hey, it's a winner go home type of game. But in reality, Pep knows his squad. He knows he has Kovacic. He knows he has Nunez. We can rotate. Those players now have earned the trust to say, Rodri, go get your rest. And I'll say his name because it's real. This is not a Calvin Phillips situation. Like, you see Kovacic on the pitch. No, seriously, you see Kov on the pitch, you know the quality, right? You know the level. You see Nunez come on, you know what he does exceptionally well, and Pepe's going to put him in a position. And he took it to him right away. And so that lineup, and of course, I was happy to see Jack. And so I will now pivot to the injury. I was very sad to see it. Those scenes on the bench, as a man who's been rightfully called out by Pep, had a very difficult season on and off. Injuries, the burglary at his house, you know, family stuff. Like, it's been a tough year after the trouble for Jack. So I was hoping this match could get him going. And it looked like it at first. First 30 minutes looked great. And then it's just like, man, another injury. And he was, you know, in tears. He saw Foden go up to him on the bench. So before we get into the goals, I want to say I hope Jack has a speedy recovery. I heard he's read somewhere he might be out till after the international break. So that means, hey, he's back for Champions League when it really gets big. That's important. But it did suck to see him go down.
Yeah, I'm with you. Seeing him aggravate that injury was very disappointing. And I'm with you. I think not even just that it'll be great to have him. I think we will need him down the stretch for the rest of the season. And so I hope he gets healthy. Having, you know, I just think the mindset and the frustration to be hurt, to, you know, go through work, to rehab, to get back on the pitch. And then within, I think it's 38 minutes, he's hurt again. So I'm sure that I know that that is frustrating for him. And you could see the emotion as he had his head underneath the towel.
Yeah.
It was like you said, it was definitely heartbreaking to see. So definitely wish him well. As far as the lineup itself, it was probably a little stronger than I thought, because I was expecting, you know, to see the Oscar Bobs. I was expecting to see the Rico Lewis's of the world. I was expecting to see them in this match, you know, FA Cup. And of course, we were able to get a big enough lead that they all came on and got playing time. So that was great. But I, if you asked me in the beginning, I was like, oh, they're playing. Or they're not playing. Those two aren't playing. But to your point about Nunez and Kovacic, giving them a chance to get that run out from the beginning was really awesome to see. So,
do you think we saw a stronger squad because of the fact that we're so close to the quarterfinals? Yes, it's not the end of the world to get knocked out of this, but it would kind of suck to lose to Luton Town and to get knocked out before it really gets good.
But so, yes, I think any competition that we are in, Pep is going to want to win it. Mm-hmm. That being said, I know this isn't what you meant, but your comments could be taken as putting Rico and or Oscar Bob on the pitch is almost throwing it away. And I don't think that's the case. Yes. I think that they are talented enough to be able to play in a cup match and our levels not drop. Quite honestly, I think they could play in any match and our levels not drop. But to we all know our squad maybe doesn't have a large number of people on it, but every single person in our squad is amazingly talented. And so it's competition for places is tough, especially when you're that young kid breaking through. They will have their day, just like Phil is having his. It may not be this season. It may be a season or two out. They're going to have their day. But I don't think that playing those two would have been a sign of Pep saying we concede, we're going to, you know, throw up the towel or anything like that. Now, if he would have brought in, say, a Micah Hamilton or somebody like that, that's more of a, hey, I'm not going to put anybody out there, but in that, and I know that's not what you meant, but I think that they're talented enough that they deserve to play. They will play. When they do play, we expect that same level out of them that we see out of everybody else on our team.
Yeah, I agree. I saw this game exactly like TC saw this game. I was surprised by the lineup and how strong it was. I think Krunk's point becomes a little bit more valid if there were a few more under 18 players that got called up and things like that, if we tried to do that. Now, I was a bit pushed back thinking, you know, again, I'm not part of the training staff. I'm not part of the medical staff. I get all that, but I just want to conserve as much as possible in a certain way. And I know our players need the minutes and they need to play. And again, I know I'm outside looking in, and maybe there's a little bit of foresight in it, because I don't necessarily feel like, flash forward to today, in which Kevin De Bruyne's play, don't necessarily feel like it was the greatest. I don't know if that was based on rest. I don't know if we needed to put up the assist that we had against Luton. Again, I loved it at the time. I'm not against it. They know better. I'm less educated, but just looking at a 9.5 rating against Luton and a smashing, and that's great. I loved it, but it's not the same set Kevin I saw today. So I digress.
I think there's a couple things, but you know, each match is different. But I want to go back to my comments, because I think I may have stated it just a little too strong, because I do think there is one person that I would be surprised to see in our squad. And that's not to throw shade or anything like that, but that's just being honest. If and when I see Sergio Gomez from a start, then I think, okay, we're not being serious here. That's just
you do shade. That's shade.
I'm just being honest.
That's shade. And that's not
did it rain in Indiana? Is there a
tell the truth and shame the devil. If I see him playing from the beginning, then I think that there's something going on. Now, when you get a 5-6 goal lead, then you know you bring him on and let him run wild for a little bit, whatever.
See, now makes sense.
If this was the Carabao Cup early stages, maybe that's something different. But we're almost to the money end of the FA Cup, so I wouldn't have expected to see him. But anybody else in our squad, I don't think it drops at all.
Charlie, speak your piece real quick, but let me just make this comment. I'm laughing at the idea that this man said, let me revert back my statement that it was too strong, and then came back even stronger.
Well, no, what I meant was I said that anybody in our squad should be able to play and our levels not drop. And that's not true, because I do think that, in my opinion, it's not true. Because
okay,
I do think that if Sergio Gomez comes in, usually he's coming in on that left back position, or even on that left wing. I think that he's better in that left wing position, not as much on the left back position, but I think the levels do drop there slightly. So that's just me being honest.
I think to that point, I think he's just a shorter Vardiol, and the size hurts him, but it's the same. He normally has the same tactical role, right? He's like, give the width. He's actually way better up top, right? And just like Vardiol is better. They're a perfect mesh if you put them together. But I will say this about the cup overall and Luton. I want to give Luton some credit. Rob Evers didn't park the bus. Rob Evers did not make this a boring match.
They were braver than our crosstown rivals.
Hey, that's a great point.
I don't even want to get this too far into it, because I want to go back to Tarek. Because I don't appreciate.
Well, we gotta go back to my comments.
Because
you back to your comments. That's why.
Because you made it seem like I was sliding Rico and Oscar Bob, when in reality you're the one over here sliding Gomez. I was just saying that. Like, I wasn't slighting them at all. He's like, some people can take your words
I gave you the benefit of the doubt. I said, I know this is not what you meant. I know this is not what you meant. But somebody listening who maybe is a first-time listener who doesn't know you like I do, maybe they would take it some way or another.
No.
That's all I was saying. I also recognize that my comments could have been taken a certain way. So I prefaced that by saying, look, I ain't trying to throw shit at the brother, but I just got to be honest with what I say.
Well, let me grab my umbrella.
That's not shade. That's not shade. That's honesty. I don't want to lie to you. Look, I will never lie to Shady Gang. I can't
shady,
lie to
shady
them.
Is honest. Oh, it's so in the name. We are the Shady Gang.
It's not shady because he's being honest. Okay,
it's shade real. Isn't lying.
Shade is real truth. Shade is a hard truth.
Crunk thinks we should the Bayern Munich for Jamal Musiala.
I mean, he's our worst defender. Somebody has to be the bottom. Just like last year, Ruben Diaz is the worst center back. I said that.
That's have our the truth. The bottom is a wild statement.
Somebody's at the bottom.
It can only be one number one. Somebody's got to be number 18 or whatever it is.
What did it say? If he ain't first, you're last? I mean, we do have people in the middle, but basically somebody's got to be last. And it's Sergio Gomez. And I love him. I think he's really talented. I think we're going to sell him for a nice profit one day. But he's last. And that's okay.
Oh, I'm loving this episode. This is
he's last in this squad, this team. He's going to go somewhere else, either on loan and or start. Be sold. And he's going to do well.
I hope he's going to be real for us in the end of the run.
We're gonna send him. We should send him to Dortmund. I mean, to the Bundesliga. Like, go dominate there. You know, you had your fun here.
That's where he was, right? No.
What was the ball?
He was
the ball guy we had.
He was like, or then he went to Belgium, I think.
What was the ball guy we had before? That was the little one that ended up going to Leipzig. He was a left wing. He was
Angelino. So many times now.
That's what I'm saying. This is who Gomez is going to be. It's your younger Gomez with more hair. Like, he's Spaniard. Same idea. Same vibes.
The bald one.
The little ball. I thought of the dude from Dragon Ball Z. That's who came in my mind. That's what I was thinking about. I was like, who is the guy? I saw the little outfit. And I was like, no, he's not a Dragon Ball Z character. He's a real human. But I hadn't seen him in years.
My God. This is so good.
I'm sorry, man. Go Lewintown. Shout out to Rob Edwards.
You don't shoot the boys. Play the heart.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, okay. Goals. Goals was the story. KDB. who was better, KDB or Haaland? KDB for doing the passes or Haaland for slotting in the goals?
My vote goes to KDB.
Yeah, I think the pass is always harder than the finish.
Well, and especially
higher than five, or is five higher than four?
Damn.
Somebody only got four assists. Another man got five goals.
Goddamn.
I'm just saying, five is bigger than four.
I mean, he didn't take on any by himself. It ain't like he did at all. You know, he didn't go messy on him. He just finished some goals. It's cool. It's cute. He did. He made up for all the misses he had. That's what he did. He leveled his, he made his ledger equal. He balanced the books.
This is man was in the deficit. Facts episode. This is a straight facts
episode. The reality is, it was a black and white fact.
But the truth of the matter is, they're simpatico. They're one and the same. You know, they're the yin and the yang, if you will. They feed each off of each other. So it's not even picking one against the other. I just me out here having jokes, man.
It's me. I being out here being chaotic because I like second. Any notes that I had taken from Luton and for this match, the second we pulled away and we had that three, I deleted it. All right, ripped up the paper. It's all vibes. I'm being chaotic. This is fun, baby. It's just like, let's ask questions.
We're going to leave this match around soon. I know it. But that Kovac strike was beautiful. I just want to say that. That was my favorite goal because it was like the cleanest goal that we hit. Like, the Stones laid it off perfect. And my man, I was like, I screamed. I was like, what the fuck? Like, Kovac?
Yeah, I know.
A nose or goal?
Proud of him. Very proud of him.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
How about this?
Yeah.
We're always so, this is the royal we. We always find plenty to pick at on bad matches. This was a good one. Things were really easy. I mean, there were moments. Luton Town did their thing. Was there anything that happened in that match? Was there anything that you saw that made you reluctant, made you upset, made you worry about the rest of the season? Or did the score line in the end wipe everything from your brain and you're just like, this is all good. Everything's good.
I mean, the reality is we gave up two goals, right? And they were pretty decent strikes by, I think is looking at it, Jordan Clark. Those were decent strikes, so they weren't. You know, I'm not gonna say he was lucky. He made really good shots, and you hate to give up goals, especially two of them. But when you're scoring six, it's just like, okay. So, but yeah, if I'm gonna be nitpicky, or if I'm not even nitpicky, if I'm gonna, you know, really criticize, it's like, wait, we gave up two goals in 7 minutes, 45th minute and 52nd minute. The reality is, we were already up 3-0 at that point when they got the first one, 4-1 when he got the second one. So the game was pretty much already out of reach. There's still no excuse. And I think again, we don't want our levels to drop. There's no excuses for lack of concentration, so on and so forth. But it's hard to find fault when you beat a team 6-2. It's just hard to find fault.
I think when I saw the second goal go in, I knew we were going to score another one. Like, that's what made me excited. I was like, oh, we're just going to keep scoring. Like, they want to keep scoring, we're going to keep scoring. Like, if they don't score that second one and it stays 4-1, I think Pep takes off the dogs earlier. And he says, okay, instead of the 77th minute bringing on the short kings, he brings them on in the 65th. And it's just like, all right, y'all, run out here for 30 minutes, go get some cardio in. If you score, great. If you don't, whatever. But once it was 4-2, it was like, oh, no, y'all stay out there. Keep going. Holler. Do another one. Go do one more. And I think that's what happened. So if anything, aside from Jack, I felt like it got me confident about our form headed into the derby. And so, like, I was like, hey, and like we talked about it on Litstream, right? It's like, we're going to beat Man United. I had no doubts about that, right, from that match in Luton. Now, if Luton goes testy, if it's a nervy 1-0, 2-1 type of scrape-by win, then I'm a little worried. But once we dominate like that, I said, oh. And we are away where we struggle early in the season in December. I was like, yeah, we're good now. We're really good.
Similar to a cold shooter seeing the ball go in for the first time in basketball, it feels really, really good to have a run of games where we feel clogged up a bit, frustrated that we can't finish, and we open it up and get those finishes that we expect and love. What I think is making it a great overall, like Charlie said, is that it's the run up before the derby, because that allows for a mentality of, we know what March brings, we know the calendar, we know the fixtures, this is a big month for us. So with that being the game to end February and to go into March the way it was, I loved it.
I do have a clip. It fits with what you were talking about, Sharpie, about Holland playing extra time and extra goals for. They were asked, hey, Pep was asked about Holland playing 20 extra minutes after scoring 5 goals. Last time he was pulled. Why wasn't he pulled this time?
United game will be a completely different one. It will be tougher. Will be a completely different one. They defend differently and have experienced players. So now we're just 2 days off.
It'll be a different one. It'll be tougher. They'll have experienced players. It's just like, bro, Ross Barkley's there. He's an experienced player. Why are you doing that to them, Pep? Again, it's just that honesty. The truth hurts. Straight facts episode.
Pep and Tarek simpatico this week.
You mentioned Ross Barkley, and I got to say, you know, there's a today I learned. It wasn't today. It was Thursday during the lit stream. I learned that that man was black. I had no clue. I didn't, like, you know, he's on the same plan as Cole Jermaine. So I was like, passing boys. I had to go look it up, and I was like, oh, wow, did not know this. So yeah, I learned that, Ross, and you could kind of tell a little bit with his hair, but
features,
something there. But it was like,
he's just a black man trying to make it out here. That's all Ross trying to do.
In the blood, bro.
I root for him.
Hey, Crunk, you know what you didn't play? You didn't play your 6-6-6-6-6.
I thought you were about to play something, so I was like,
no, I was saying you didn't play yours. I was going to give you a chance to play yours.
I saw you fidgeting, so I thought you were going to.
Well, I guess I could say that for us, I mean, yeah, I could, you know. So yeah, we got 5 by himself. But, you know, as a squad, we got our 6. So, you know, we got to give. There we go.
There we go. So we did.
We got to play that 6 because we don't get to play. There was a point in time where we were playing it quite a bit. Yeah. Now it's not as common. So
okay, you know, now we're just adding real spoil. All right, guys. Okay, we've only played it twice this year. Only played
it. I'm just saying.
Teacher, bro. Let us be
our goal differential isn't what it needs to be. That's all I'm saying. We need to run it up and get that six on some cats.
He's not wrong. He's not.
And that
wrong.
Didn't even count for our goal differential because it was the cup match. We need to do that. We should have done that today. But that's what we're
doing. Straight facts from T.
That's a nice segue right there. Right there.
Yes, sir.
The way you're looking right there.
We gonna get to the Premier League, Chingy. We out here. Let's get right to Pep on his thoughts about United and what makes them dangerous.
So they have the biggest incredible quality of that. So from one action, they create something special in set pieces, in transition, in open play, connections with a few players, and they score goals. So always have been United in that way. When they play good, they win games. When they are okay, they are no stress, they are able to win games. So
it is what it is with them. This match, I want to start with Onana and the time wasting, how they scored their first goal. It was insane. Pep said a little something on it. He mentioned the injury real quick, but he kind of kept it moving. He mentioned the rules, but also he didn't stay on that too long because he didn't want to get fined. But there was a lot of shenanigans, nonsense going on naturally before City eventually scored and United had to try a little bit. Anyone on Onana and his... Do you think it's part of the game? Do you not believe he was a little shithousery? Am I wrong in my thoughts on?
I think the whole team, I mean, they came into this, and I felt it from their lineup selections, but they came into this match knowing that the only hope they had was to keep us our because again, they saw what we just did against Luton, right? So they wanted to keep the score down. The longer it was close, the better their chances were going to be. Yeah, I think it was very much intentional, just like their lineup choices were intentional to try and, you know, hit us on the counter, be resolute at the back, keep a clean sheet if possible. That was their plan going in. That was really their only hope. And so they tried to play to their strengths or what they perceived their perceived strength to be. And it is what it is. But yeah, I think there's it was a part of their plan coming in.
I think I had a bar. It had to be last season during the trouble season where I called, I believe it was Chelsea. It might have been United. I called somebody a billion-dollar Burnley. And that's what they look like today in just a different shade of red. Yeah. And that's a part of the tactics, right? It's like, hey, let's the Sean Dyche is Burnley, not the shitty one. No offense, Vincent. But the one that was like... And Turf Moor was like, you know, a fortress. And it was really hard to win and scrape by. That's who they were playing like today, which is very embarrassing for a club that has a billion-plus dollar net spend in the last 4 years. But, you know, hey, you know, everybody can't be great. So the keeper's got to get a little hurt to try to waste some seconds because you can't defend. Do what you got to do.
Shout out to Sunshine. I kicked it with her on her TikTok with the live. Got it. A bunch of the little followers for us. Shout out to Jen. She was out there standing strong, supporting, made a bunch of friends with the Blues. There was like 400 and some people in it at one point in time. It was a good time. Yeah. Especially at the end when we were running away, I had everybody putting blue emojis in it, just flooding that stuff. It was such a good time. I was being so obnoxious. It was great. Oh,
let's go.
But I got it. Especially when the lead and they were just being awful and taking their time and all the time wasting. Look, I get what they needed to do because they were doing the two banks of five defensively. Onana needs to take time so everybody can get up the pitch to try to take advantage of their one kick, their one opportunity they're probably going to have for the next 15 minutes to try to score. It's awful. It's annoying. I get it, but like you said, it's billion-dollar Burnley. It's If you're Manchester United, that should not be, or if you win, how happy, how good really can you feel? Yes, I'm sure most of them are goofs, so they're going to love it. We beat City at Etihad, but spiritually, your integrity of it, do you have that? Do you not feel shame? I don't know. I would have felt icky if we would, if we ever were to win a match like that. And there's like by any means necessary, and then there was what Manchester United did.
Isn't this the same United that couldn't get out of a group with FC Copenhagen?
Go on.
Same one, correct? So we know who they are. Like when the lights were the brightest of the year, you had to beat a team from Denmark with Baby Hoyland on it. You couldn't do it.
Why do you have to throw Baby Hoyland in there?
Because I wanted to make a connection to one of their players who actually would have been very helpful today. They really missed him. But yeah, like they, I expect they're a club trying to hold on to a Europa League spot. They're a club that's 11 points back of a Champions League spot. Not saying the fifth place with the coefficient, the real Champions League spot, top four. We don't want to give the new one, you know, the we love you. Come on, PL teams. But like, they're just a very mid club with a negative goal differential now. Like, it's so, they are who they are. And everything about that manager, from being a ball fraud to, you know, buying Antony over Kudus to saying, let's go get Casemiro on his little last legs and help Real Madrid fund the next 10 years of their fucking club. Like, you can't be, like, they are so fucking unserious. And that's why, you know, Sir Ratatouille was like, hey, like, these, we got, it's a gap. We got to catch up because we are not here. And you saw every bit of that on the pitch today, from the first kick of the ball to the last kick of the ball. There was one dominant side. And that's all I want to say. And I'm going to stop talking after this, y'all. Man United had two shots. Two. One was the goal, and one was like in the 93rd minute in extra time. Two shots the whole match, over 80 minutes apart. We had 27. That's it. I'm done.
I think Tarek said it earlier. They liked bravery. Right. They just the tactics in itself. Luton went at us with more spunk and desire and forward, proactive, aggressive approach. And I think there is something to Krunk's point and how this whole conversation starts with, which is the notion of how could you kind of be a fan or support that even if you do get a result in any way. And it's the long-term concept that every fan wants to watch beautiful football, but every fan wants to win. And there's a compromise to that. There's a compromise to winning and a style of play. Aesthetically, we all want it to be the next Mona Lisa. Whatever you find beautiful, that's fine. I don't really care. It's the results that really matter as well. So I think there's a blend in there, but
Unless you're Man City and you have Pep as a manager who not only wants to play pretty football but also wins at the same time, for a lot of clubs, for United in this case, it's a one or the other. It can't be both. And against us, they just want to win. Find any way that they can to win.
Why?
Because they're not good enough. Reality is they're just not good enough to be able to do both. And they not only the reality is it's not just against us, but it's against a lot of teams in the league as well, that they're just not good enough. Their best style of play at the moment is to hit on the counter because they don't have, you know, and you said, how do their fans feel about it? You hear all the Ten Hag out all the time. They're not happy about it either. I think in this match, on a one-off situation, they would have been over the moon had they won that game today. They probably would have been okay if they just got points out of it. They would have been happy to say, oh, we derailed City's attempt at a title again. Mm-hmm. So they would have found a way to be happy about it. So, but if you ask them, are they happy with the way that they play? No, that's why they want to get rid of the manager. So, you know, it is what it is. When you guys looked at the lineup today, what were your thoughts? And I'll tell you mine and I want to hear yours. For me, I guess the question that I had was Kyle Walker versus Akanji. because Conte's been in his bag recently. He really has. But I think I would have gone Kyle, and I understood the selection of Kyle because of his pace against Garnacho and Rashford. I think you needed that recovery speed. So that was the thing that stood out to me as far as what would I do or would I have done anything different or, you know, any question or whatever. But I think I would have done pretty much what Pep did.
Yeah, I like the lineup. I understand why we have to have Walker. He's our captain. We can't do too many matches without him playing too many consistent matches.
Especially not a derby.
Exactly. But I would have loved Akanji. Would much have been different? Honestly, I actually think yes. I think it maybe if we would have saw Akanji, I don't think we give up the goal. And honestly, I think we also might have scored more because there just would have been more structure. There were bouts in this match where it did feel like United were starting to grow confidence and they were holding possession for moments and time. It was actually right before we scored. It was really what changed, and we'll get to it. But actually, we can get to it now. We're still talking about the lineup and everything and Akanji, but it's I'll make a note for that. I would have preferred Akanji, but I understand why we don't have Walker. Okay. The moment that changed the entire match, I feel, is Walker versus Rashford. Walker gives Rashford a slight tug on the arm, and Rashford just drops like he died. Ref calls nothing. City score shortly after which revs up the crowd. You know how it goes from there. Even during the live watch along, that killed all the momentum that Sean Stein was feeling, all of the energy in the chat for all the United fans. They were crying for a penalty or like a red card. And just like, look at it. Yeah, he grabbed the arm, but Rashford dropped before he could even do like an elbow full arm pull. Let him actually pull you a little bit before you can drop. He just got the arm around him and Mans fell the second he touched him. It was too obvious of a dive. There was still plenty much to do. He wouldn't have been able to get sent off from that. Shout out to Rashford. You scored the goal for United, but also you were the catalyst that helped City score our goals. So shout out to you.
Go ahead, Lando.
No, please go.
Well, I was going to go back to the actual first goal that they scored because I think there was it shocked me. I think it shocked the crowd. I think it shocked everybody for them to get that goal. We talked about the time wasting and whatever else. It was a situation where Kyle thought he was offside and effectively quit on the play. And my issue in this case with Kyle is you can be offside or onside by an inch because they're going to go draw lines and all this other stuff, right? So there's no way that as a defender you can tell that tightly. And it wasn't Kyle that kept him on, it was Ake on the backside. But my point is you don't know that he's offside. You believe he's offside, but you don't know. So Kyle kind of has his hand up and he stops running and the play continues on and he never fights to get back. And then he just has space. It's a worldly of a goal. It's amazing shot. But I just felt like he quit on the play. And again, that's. It's unacceptable from my perspective. Again, I ain't the coach. I'm not the one that appointed him or they picked him, whatever, to be captain. But I just feel like you've got to have your hand up, try to draw attention to the fact that you think the player is offside. But at the end of the day, you can't quit on that play. That's just my opinion.
Hey, the what the fuck is Kyle Walker doing? Brigade is back.
I saw that play. I saw the highlights. And honestly, the defense was still in shape Like, you saw, like, what's the name? Closed down Bruno. Who was it? Diaz closed down Bruno. He forced Bruno to lay it off. Rodri was right there. Rodri was close to Rash. He was looking at Bruno and lost Rash, right? And so, again, and then, like, a friend texting a Liverpool fan, he literally said, Rash went L1 plus R1 circle. Like, it was a crazy power
shot. Power shot.
It is a strike, a power shot that he will never hit again in that scenario, right? It took, like you said, it was a worldie. It was a Galazzo. It was everything you want to say. Like, that's going to be on goals of the season. And nobody cares because they lost, you know, whatever. But the point was, in that moment, yes, and again, this is where, obviously, and I love it. Somebody asked me, do you all, like, disagree on the show? I'm like, yeah, we disagree on how we see players all the time. I don't see it as Kyle's fault. I see it as just an exceptional play. That if it was 3 inches up, it goes over the bar. Or hits the top of the bar instead of underneath. And so, you know, do I wish that you talk about Akanji being in? If Akanji was in for Diaz, Akanji's bigger. Maybe he stops Bruno's pass. I don't know. Would I wish that Rodri would have caught the runner instead of being so focused on his countryman with the ball? I wish. But, like, that was the goal that just said, okay, we're definitely going to win. And honestly, when it went in, I was like, oh, my over 2.5 bet is great. Like, we're going to score 2 goals because we got to win now. Like, we could have won 2-0 before. Now it's just going to be 2-1.
Shout out to the preview show. Shout out to the preview show. If you got a chance to listen to Sharpie Charlie's bets, something – I got to start writing these down, man. When we do the preview show and you get the knowledge like that out to the world, I need to write these down just to follow up and have this little segment with you onto the show so we can kind of see what your success rate is. This is something we got to keep track of, man. You're getting
fucked with these. I can't wait to tell you why I lost my bets today. And there's two players on our team who we all love. They fucked me over. But anyways, so yes, Kyle made his mistake, just like a lot of defenders do. He was off. I won't defend that. But I will say, like, Rashford had a moment, man. That's a moment of brilliance, a moment of excellence. He hurt the haters. He stepped up. He gave his team the lead, which I didn't think they would get.
I need to hear T give me another breakdown of how he saw this play, because I think both of you are right. But this is why I want to hear T again. He went so far as to tweet Kyle Walker angry faces.
Because I seen it right in the moment. Because I was sitting there watching that man not run. And I'm tired of him not getting back on the play. But to Charlie's point about, you know, people ask, do we ever disagree? Of course we disagree. The problem is that I'm always right and whoever's disagreeing with me is always wrong. That's just what it is. I mean, I doubt it. No, that watch the playback. The ball is being played to his side. He believes the player is offside. And so, like all defenders do, the hand goes up, you're trying to draw attention to it.
I hate that
shit. The play continues on. And he's jogging around with his hand up in the air, like, just go ahead and blow the whistle. We know he's offside. He gets on the ball, and the play keeps going. And then he has to try to recover. Mm-hmm. It's too late. Because, again, that man could have been onside literally by an inch. Put your arm down and defend.
Yeah. So
if the referee blows the whistle, then they blow the whistle. But you don't know that they're going to blow it. So stop quitting on the play.
And this is why I say both of you are right, because you're
putting your teammates in bad positions.
That's the key. He's conceding that it's a worldie of a shot. But essentially, I feel like I'm the mediator here. He's conceding that it's a worldie of a shot. But the simple notion of the raising of the hand and falling behind and not tracking back allows for their gap to be played. Like Charlie said, Rodri's looking at Bruno. Bruno gets it down. Rodri and everyone's looking at Bruno. Rashford's coming into the space. Theoretically, with what T's saying, Kyle Walker should be coming back into that without stopping on the fucking play and getting involved.
At the end of the day, it took an amazing shot to get the goal out of it. Had they not scored, I still would have felt how I felt in the moment because I saw it. But it wouldn't have mattered. It wouldn't have, you know, been penalized. There's a lot of mistakes that happen. Mistakes happen all the time, right? Not every mistake is penalized. In this case, what I perceived to be a mistake was, and so that made it even more frustrating to me because I feel like I've seen very similar plays from Kyle throughout the course of the season. And I only again, like any coach, you only call out a player if you think that they can do better. If they're doing their best, then you're just going to be like, let it is. It is what it is. Hey, you tried your best, but you just got beat. That's a better player. In this case, I just felt like, Kyle, you could have done more. You could have tried. You could have done more. And maybe he still scores that goal because it's just that great of a shot. But we could have done more in that moment, in my opinion. You know,
he's not expecting Sergio Gomez to be able to cover things like that. It's Kyle Walker. Kyle Walker needs to be able to be covering those things.
Yeah, I'm going to leave Kyle one day.
7.7 rating on Footbob. And to be honest with you, in the preview show, I actually said I see his name on the lineup. I'm like neutral when I see his name. I just understand he's a part of it. I actually thought he played pretty well today. I really do believe he actually had a great game. I do agree with you. It was a fault on his part, but Nathan Aké kept him on. That's the part to where I wish Nathan Aké would have had a little bit more kind of vision and height and height for that. But in his defense too, I think there was a man there that if he would have stepped up like Kyle and tried to create a little bit of a trap, I think he would have actually fucking would have been a step behind. I think it was Garnacho. So yeah.
We'll go back to what I was saying, the momentum changer that it felt to me when you were watching the match in that moment. Did it feel like a momentum changer to you as well? Or
you're going back to when we got our goal, right?
Yeah. Specifically the moment where Rashford fell. Between him and Kyle Walker, I felt that was a key moment, and it just completely changed the whole momentum of the game. And yes, it led to a lot of stuff. But
he had already scored one. He was feeling good about himself, and then he loses the ball, takes a poor touch, gets taken away. So he goes down, all of that stuff. But then when you turn around and you see him go back the other way and get the goal, I'm sure that was devastating from their standpoint. For me, we just needed to get the goal because I felt like once we got the first one, then we could get a second one. It was just a matter of getting that first one. So, I definitely think it was a bit of a turning point for sure.
And this is where Kyle Walker shows his brilliance, because if he's not on the pitch, if Akanji's on the pitch, Akanji's getting burnt. Like Rashford's ahead of him. Like, Kyle Walker's the only player on that team that can catch up to Rash and at least even make him think, oh, I should try to take this foul. And like I said on the pregame show, right, it's Big Bro. Like, he sees Big Bro coming. He has nothing for Kyle Walker 1v1. And he's younger. He's like 7 years younger or something crazy. But he knows, like, I can't do anything with two. And two got back in the picture. Captain got back. And he literally just touched his arm. It wasn't like a pull. It wasn't a shirt grab. It was a running side by side. Our bodies touched. And now you go down like you just got shot by Phil Foden's celebratory gun. Like, I don't understand why you didn't show more fortitude in that moment to try to go through and really make it look like a yellow being drawn versus dropping to the floor. And now the ref is like, nah, bro, I'm watching the whole thing. Like, you ain't doing nothing. You get up. And now you're, of course, I don't think he stops the attack or whatever, like you say, right? I don't think he's the reason they scored near the end, but I also know that, like, that gave us the ball right back. We got it to the best player on the pitch today, and the rest is history. So, yeah, definitely a huge momentum shift.
Anything else that we haven't touched from this match, really? We leave the match feeling great. We beat down United, where it's at home. We keep the run going. It's good to see the players that we saw. Nobody left, really. Well, Sharpie, you said you thought you saw Haaland might be injured, his right shoulder, possibly?
It was like a little thing where, like, he was holding, like, if you look like, you know, like you're wearing a sling because you're trying to, like, protect your shoulder or whatever, you hold up your arm. There were moments he did it, but then he goes on to score a goal. I mean, I feel like it's like in basketball, right? Everybody's hurt on defense, but you feel good on offense. Like, you know, always get that shot off, and then you limp back on the other side of the court. Like, dang, my hamstring hurt a little bit now, coach. I think he's going to be fine. I will say this. Philip Walter Foden, man of the match, player of the season, kept calling the best player in the Premier League, like, at the moment. Like, 47's here. It's his time. He has stepped up. He has filled in any Gundo missing hole. He has filled in for De Bruyne as De Bruyne was out. He's been the constant all year. Haaland's been injured. He's played just about every match. He's shown up in just about every match. 23 and shining. Like, our two boys who are 23 get all the goals. And Alvarez gets the assist. He got the assist for the game winner. And that was huge. Like, it was amazing to see a perfect sub by Pep. He didn't wait super long. He knew it was time to get Doku off, and he was rewarded. They also knew to go on the left side to go at the young kid that came on. So love the tactics by Pep. Yeah, I just feel like that second half was a masterclass. Pep said the first half was better, which I get why he said that. But to get three goals in a half and just utterly dominate them, force them into an abysmal mistake. Everybody who's getting on Amrabat for the mistake at the last goal, get on Casemiro for that shitty pass. That was a terrible loopy pass right at the edge of the box. It's like, what is that? You didn't give your guy any rhythm, any time to like really control it, turn. He's trying to control a bouncing ball when all you had to do was like kick it to him. Like, Casemiro is a huge waste of space on that team. And Eric Ten Hag's not smart enough to stop playing him, which is the sad part for them. But for us, it was great. Yeah, super proud of the boys, man. That's how you come back. That's the heart of a champion right there.
We dominated so much that the fact that they got the goal initially kind of took some sting out of it. You're like, oh, but we truly dominated United. We had 736 completed passes. They had 240. Of our 736 passes that were completed, 526 of them, a full 71% of our passes were completed in the opposition, in their half. Oh. On the flip side, they only completed like 30% of their passes in our half. We had 69 touches in the opposition box. They had 9. This shouldn't have even been close. The scoreline flatters them. The fact that they got a goal, it was only 3-1. That's flattering to them. We dominated them.
Lando, you know who fucked up my bets? Erling Haaland and Kevin De Bruyne, because they couldn't find the fucking target in the first half. De Bruyne got 4 shots. And Haaland, I don't know how he didn't just
score. Oh, man.
Pick a body part that's not your foot, my boy. Like, anything shoulders down, that ball's in the net. Like, you keep missing these big fucking chances, and I don't understand it.
He's
pulling that foot up so high to get to the ball. Yeah. It would appear that it would have been better for him to use his head or use his chest. Maybe his chest doesn't get it past Onana, but his head should have.
Go fucking go with your balls, my boy.
Mm. Like, he's done it before.
Use what your mama gave you.
So it almost felt like that was harder not to score there than it was to just put that away. I think watching it, I think the people in the stands behind just was like immediately like, we've seen this a million times. That ball comes across and he just taps it in. They already started cheering. And then it was like, wait, how did he miss? It's like, you're dumbfounded. So I'm glad he got his goal to make up for it. But yeah, that should have been a goal.
Linda, what was Kev's rating?
Kevin's rating for this game was an 8.0.
Because God knows he messed up so much. The cross deliveries are off. He didn't hit the fucking target at all. He looked like Kyle Walker had a better shot on target than Kevin De Bruyne. Let's be real. He hit the wall in the free kick. He was running around out there. Hair was looking beautiful. Love 17. 17, hit the target, my boy. Like, we need you out here. I needed you today, Kev. I needed you. Haaland, I needed you. It's fine. We got the win. I'm fucking.
That first half was a bit problematic, though, boys, right? I mean, we can acknowledge that going into that half, how frustrating it is for us to know we've seen it all before. We dominate in all the statistical categories, and yet we're down with first shot on goal. And this is just a storyline that's been something that has plagued us here. I want to not dim the mood or anything like that. Obviously, Manchester's fucking blue. I'm amped. But guys, this is a big month. And while we get 3 points, there's two sides, two halves in football. any of us here feel a little bit of trepidation to how important this month is, and with us conceding the way that we are at times?
I mean, I think we are at a place in the season where it really does not matter how we win. We just need to win. We just want to walk away with 3 points, and I don't really care how it happens. Mm-hmm. Like, I was watching the Liverpool match yesterday,
mm-hmm.
and I usually never turn it on because it's like they're going to win. And I turn it on. It's like, you know, I'm looking and I keep going back and forth. I look at it and they're in stoppage time. At the end of the day, they don't care because they got their 3 points. Had they not got those points, the table looks different today. Right. So they don't care. They just got their points. And so I think for us, yes, we want to play well. We want to dominate. We want to do all of those things. But if we don't do anything but walk away with 3 points, I'll be perfectly fine. I don't care how we get them. Just go get those 3 points. Because, again, our next couple matches, if we get 3 points in those, that table looks a whole lot different than it does today.
Are we officially in the business end of the season to you?
The business end of the season is the next month with Arsenal, Liverpool. Aston Villa's in there. Champions League is in there. So I think, if you want to call that the business end, because if we come out of that with 3 points in all those matches, I think it's just a march. It's a march to the title at that point.
Yeah. I agree.
I think anything other than that, if we draw those, it probably doesn't matter.
I mean, definition wise, that's it, right? Like, that's the business end of the season. Especially what you're defining is business end of the season. These upcoming matches, if we handle and do business, se acabó, we've done our work. But theoretically, if we don't,
because if we don't, then we're counting on someone else to, mm-hmm. and you know what? It might happen. There's going to be drop points between now and the end of the season somewhere.
Another valid fact. But
I don't like putting my future, my faith, my confidence in somebody in another team because they're not as good as us. And they, you know, whatever. I would have never thought that Nottingham Forest would have taken it to basically the last kick of the match. But they did. And unfortunately, it was just a few touches too short. I can't count on that. I need somebody that's going to handle business.
Clear the ball.
I'm with you, but I mean, you know, for us, we just take care of our own business. We don't have to worry about it.
I will say this. I will trade off. If I had to pick one match to draw this month, it's going to be the Arsenal match because they're behind us in the standings.
They're behind us, yeah.
Yeah, but if you win at Anfield, the title's ours. That's it. And it's that simple because mathematically we're over Liverpool. They have a harder May. Like, if you look at their May, they play Spurs, Liverpool. They play Spurs the last three matches of the season right now. I know things may be rescheduled, but they play Spurs at Villa and then Wolves. And Wolves is tough. So, like, we play Fulham in this order. We play Wolves, Fulham, West Ham. I would much rather not have to play, you know, Spurs and Villa in the final weeks when everybody's gunning for top four and you know they're going to be all systems go than playing all teams in the mid-table. So as long as we beat Liverpool, the title's ours. I don't care what Arsenal does because they're not going to beat us at the Etihad. At the worst they're going to do is come out with a draw. I mean, the best they can get is a draw. So I think we control it, and I think, like, the style points don't even matter. Like, if we win every game by two, I'm happy. If we win every game by one, I'm ecstatic. Like, because that's the heart of the champion. Like, we can go into all the mentality monster shit. But we're the best team in the world, and I think the best team in the world is going to show up.
Today, if I told you don't even play the game at Anfield, just take the draw, do you take the draw today? It's Anfield. I just want to give a heavy there. And what I'm implying is we're not getting a fucking call.
We got to send Klopp out the right way. Pep's got to end this rivalry officially.
Shit.
The right way. No, it's real shit. It's the way they think in the locker room. Nobody's won four in a row yet. Everything we're doing is for this moment. We literally have gone through all the injuries, all the shit this year, trouble defense for the first time in over 20 years. Like, no, we are here to beat them at their home and kill their treble or quadruple dreams. Like, it's over.
Fire me the fuck up, Charlie. Fire me the fuck up. Let's go. I was going to take the fucking draw. I'm not now. I'm not now. How about that?
Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Eric, would you take the draw?
He's thinking on it. He's thinking on it.
I want to say no, but I would consider it. I mean, I would consider it.
That's the competitor.
I mean, I would think about it.
He wants it.
But I mean, because again, what you can't do is lose, right? We just can't lose it. But I think, again, any team that's willing to play is a team that is at risk to us hanging points on them, right? Mm-hmm. Liverpool's not going to be content to just sit back and do what United did. That's embarrassing for a top level club, right? Liverpool's a bigger competitor than that. Arsenal's not going to do that. They're bigger competitors than that. Well, United's the only, you know, they're the scrubs that we, you know, do whatever. Rags. We play like a small team. We play like a bottom of the table relegation threatened team. That's how they play. So I just think that it will play into our hands. To your point though, Lando, going to Anfield, because it feels like they want to crown him, it's like you never know what's gonna happen. Yeah, so man.
Crunk?
I would think about it, but no, I can't even do it, because I know we are good enough to beat anybody on any day.
Crunk don't want nothing of it. Crunk says, I want the game.
Yeah, I want to beat him down at Anfield on clocks. Yeah, I want this. I need this to happen.
I would love it.
Getting all teamly just thinking about it. Oof. Let's quickly do these score predictions for City. We have, haven't had to been able to play this in a while. Hold on. Let's go. Champions League. How we feeling? Copenhagen, we got a 2-goal lead on home. It's light and easy, right? Does Pep play? Is this a Bob? Is this a Rico Lewis? Is this a Nunez Kovacic match? Does Rodri get a rest?
Sergio Gomez?
Nah.
Anyone?
Nah, you don't win.
Terrick established. That's too crazy. Too
See, that's why we can't have good stuff. You don't be going to the extremes with it.
Sergio, para mi gente, bro. Ya tú sabes, bro. I'm here to represent you, bro. Anytime I can get your name in there, just the press, I'm going to do it. I need Sergio Gomez minutes.
I think Pep goes 7 changes.
Damn. What? List them.
But here's the thing. It's very simple. Goalkeeper's going to switch. Goalkeeper doesn't switch. But on defense.
So 6.
I'm sorry. On defense, though, you have Akanji, who didn't play. He's going to play. Mm-hmm. Akanji's going to play. Kovacic is going to play. Nunez is going to play. Vardiol's back fit. He's like the possible in spades for me. So, you know, but I think he could play easily for Ake. I think Bob could start. And I think Alvarez could start for Haaland to get him fully fit for Liverpool. Like, it wouldn't shock me at all if he did 6. And honestly, if you wanted to give Phil a rest to really go into Anfield as healthy as possible. I'm sorry, give Kevin a rest to go into Anfield as healthy as possible. That wouldn't shock me either. So, because we're up 2 goals. All we got to do is draw. And we're at home. So you get the night crowd Wednesday night at the Etihad. Like, Copenhagen's going to go all out. They're not going to sit back. So the goals are going to be there for us. They're a better Luton, obviously, right? Like, you know, they have quality. They've beaten big teams.
Away goals aren't a thing anymore, teams. Right? I don't got to worry about that shit anymore.
No, okay, cool. Matter. No. So, no. Question. Like, this is a U.S. versus the rest of the world kind of a situation here, or at least against, you know, versus Manchester. But with Messi on Inter Miami, when he doesn't play, people feel like they deserve their money back and yada, yada, boom, boom, right? If we make all the changes that you just said, no Foden, no Haaland, no, you know, go down the list. I mean, there's no sense of entitlement that, oh, well, does that keep people from showing up? Which, you know, there's always the conversation about midweek attendance, about the crowd, yada, yada, boom. Does
Copenhagen.
I mean, you're playing against Copenhagen. You expect to win. It's a midweek match. You got to, the weekend match is going to be on the road anyway. So is there anything that potentially turns off the crowd from showing up and being loud?
I don't think so.
Yeah. Because if we knew, or if we thought that, and again, people, you buy the ticket just because there's the chance that Messi plays. But, you know, when he doesn't show up, you got folks upset.
Well, see,
they canceled the preseason matches.
The friendly. Yeah,
when they knew he wasn't going to show up. Like, well, there's no point in playing if we can't see Messi.
I mean, Kevin and Haaland were out for months, right? People still came because they know, like, they support the badge, right? It's not like Messi, who is at this point.
That's why I said, I think this is the difference between how we in the U.S. feel versus, it's like, it's all about the stars. If there's, you know, in the NBA, they have, what do they call it? They got players that don't play because they're trying to get their rest, or I forget.
DNP rest, yeah.
Minutes and all that kind of stuff.
Minutes restrictions, yeah.
Yeah, so we feel upset about that. You know, but to your point, it's about the badge. It's not about the player. And as long as 11 players are on the pitch with this badge on, then we should be good to go.
Damn right.
I just thought about it when you said seven changes. I was like, ooh, that's a lot.
I mean, just look at, I mean, and I know it's a different situation, but I hope we all have the right expectations about the American tour when they come, right? Like,
that's preseason. You're going to get like a half, exactly. And that's going to be that.
Yeah.
But you'll see a lot of the young kids, and that I think that was cool too. That was cool.
If Pep doesn't make that many changes, he's definitely making like 60 minute subs to get people off the pitch. You know what I'm saying? Like, nobody's playing the full 90.
Yeah,
that doesn't have to play a full 90.
No, Charlie, I'm with you on that.
Has to be ready for Liverpool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Can't take any chances with that.
If you're over 30, you shouldn't play.
Damn.
just like sit that? The old man down. Yeah, sit him down. For what? Why they got to be out there? We got two goals. Y'all sit down. Kyle and Kev is what I'm talking about. 17-2, take a break and let the young boys handle your business. And then you go out there and make Klopp's teeth hurt.
All right. veneers. Let's get to the veneer leader then. Liverpool, how are we feeling about that? What are we going to do, or does anyone think we're losing? Okay, so we're good. 2-1 win for Sharpie. 2-1. I like that.
2-1. They couldn't score against fucking Nottingham. Like, fuck them.
I'll second that. 2-1. Okay, I like that. I'll second that. 2-1 win for me also. Mark me down for that. Lando, Terry.
Oh no, man.
Like I said, for me, it just matters that we win. I'm going to say 3-2 because I think it's going to be tight, but we win. So, I guess it's 2-3 because we're on the road. But, yeah, we get the win.
Yeah, I'm going 3-2 as well. I get the City victory on the road. I think it's going to be close. This is – I know Liverpool's not necessarily the most healthiest right now. You know, the whole Klopp's kids kind of thing, which is fucking annoying as shit.
But do we think Salah and all those guys are going to be back by the time we play this?
They should. That's a lot of the talk conversation.
Let me say this. If they roll out those teenagers again, I hope we batter them. I hope we beat them 4-0.
Yeah.
Just because I'm tired of the, you know, oh, my God, he worked miracles. He's a miracle worker. Nah, man. They're cool, but, you know, ain't nothing special.
Never. They
also play on a tiny pitch, and I hate that shit. Get a big pitch. It's ridiculous. That's their part of their advantage. Their pitch is literally smaller than the Etihad or Old Trafford or Spurs like Villa. That condensed pitch helps their press. It is why all their games are so intense at home. And and nobody talks about it out there because it's been that way forever. But yeah. It changes. If you went to a different basketball court and the 3-point line was closer,
No.
You'd be like, wait, what? Why y'all get a different one? Yeah.
don't do all that.
Don't even bring that up then.
No. See,
you'll be so mad.
This is a concept that I think is another huge aspect to change in sport, right? Like size don't change for basketball. Like the courts of the court.
Or football. Right? American football, sorry.
Or American, like this plagues me. But I don't know. Yeah, you're right. It's just so consistent.
It's similar to MLB NFL. Now that I think about it. It's like MLB though. Every outfield is different.
Is different.
That is true.
401 here. They got the wall is cut in here. They got a short corner in the Yankees because we got a lot of lefties. So we want to make it easier for our lefties to
Great point.
So you have that home field advantage.
Truly home field advantage. Yeah.
Versus the NFL, the NBA, where it's
hockey,
it's this size, ice, boom, 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 and that's just it. Yeah.
Damn field bitches.
We're getting no calls. I'm saying it right now. Like, I don't want to be that person that's foreshadowing like ref misery and fuckery, but I'm telling you right now, I'm going into this match thinking I'm about to be bitching for a straight 90 minutes. I feel it in my bones. I feel like we're playing the refs and the fucking Liverpool.
See, when I think we're going to, when people say we're going to dominate like they were against United 6-1, one announcer said, it makes me nervous. When we start to say, oh, I don't know, then I feel a little bit better about it because it's like, I hear you what you're saying, but I also know we got all world talent on our team, man. We could play with anybody. So, you know, I think, and again, they've got a lot of players out. Salah coming back, if he comes back, will be big for them.
He'll score.
They got a couple X factors on their team that you never know what to expect from. And, you know, they can do something. They can hurt you. But I think we win. I don't think it's easy, but I think we win. I don't care who, you know, they put on a pitch. I don't care about the refs. Now maybe I will lose confidence between now and Sunday. I don't know, but right now I'm feeling really good.
Darwin scares me more than Salah.
Darwin is a true agent. And that's sad to admit, but that dude.
But just on like a physical freak level.
Yeah.
Like he's ridiculous.
He's
like,
super fast.
He can run fast.
Big and
he
physical.
Jumps really high. He shoots. He doesn't care. He can pass. I think he's like for the season double-digit goals and assists. Like he's balling, and I'm gonna give him his credit because we were on his head heavy last year. But he got it. He figured it out. And I think when he starts, they are different.
See, and that's how I think he's better. I think he's actually better off the bench because
he's been better. Super
like
subbing
you say about
lately.
Sterling. You know, when you come in with those tired legs and you could just run all day at him. That's what he's able to do. He comes in and you got these right backs who've been out there all day and he's coming in off the left or whatever. Dude can run, man. He can
give DS hell. So. He can give DS a shot. Yeah.
Yeah. So I actually feel better if he starts than if he comes off the bench.
Yep.
Seeing him coming in is like, which is what happened against,
Force.
Force.
Yeah. Not even Force of the night. So we'll see.
I will wake up before now in the game. I will wake up at least once from a nightmare in which I see the Egyptian Mohamed Salah score a left footed curler against us. I guarantee it. Without a shadow of a doubt, I will have that dream. And it will probably be a reality if I'm honest with you. That's the guy I think we should all kind of know.
Who is he going to turn? It's been Cancelo. And I think it's been, who else was it?
He hasn't gotten Ake, I don't think.
Was it Walker?
And we're back. America's favorite game, guys, where we ask the question, Mohamed Salah, Manchester City, who is he going to turn next? What the fuck are we doing?
That's pretty much what's, I mean, let's be honest. Every match, he's gonna post up the top as the outlet because they're not going to be able to keep the ball. They're going to kick it out long to him, and he's always been in position to turn somebody.
It's Nathan Ake.
It's Ake. I mean, he's lost a quarter of a step this season. He's not as fast as he was last year.
We saw it today, didn't we?
But his positioning is great. His one-on-one defense, like dual defense, is great. But if it gets pacey, that's why I hope tactically we are truly in like a flat back four. Like, I don't think we need to try to push up our center back. Like, I hope we go 4-2-3-1 because and let Bernardo sit beside Rodri and just have four defenders in the back. Don't give it three. You got to respect. You respect Liverpool, and I think Pep will do that. Like, he knows, you know, possession is going to be a 55-45, 52-48 situation.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, we need four defenders at all times. And the other 60 yard, go get the goal. But
so that's our version of parking the bus. We actually keep a flat back four as opposed to taking one of our defenders and moving them up into midfield. So that's about as parked of a bus as we can get.
Yeah, or straight or like strong overlapping. Like, if we go like straight back four and tell Walker or – I mean, the funny thing is, even if we do straight back four, we don't even have a true left back. You still have to do a center back. Yeah, but that's
a left back.
We're acknowledging that. I don't know.
He plays left back. He's defended wingers for 2 years now, like a year and a year and three fourths. Like, he's that little. He's not Sergio Gomez.
Yeah,
but you know, he defends on the left. He's a big Pep likes big defenders.
Hey, tell me what
big boys.
Let me ask you guys this real tactical.
Guys, we gotta get to the women. We gotta get to the women. We're going so long.
Nasty and Tom threw me off.
I didn't see Tom exactly, so I thought I didn't even know we were going.
It's from an episode of their own. Damn it, those women have been amazing.
I was gonna say you're about to get us all canceled.
I know. That's why I'm gonna cut it.
Okay. What? An episode of their own.
You said that's why I didn't hear you correctly. You said they deserve
they do
episode of their own, and I get you. But at first, I thought you were really like
it makes it sound like we don't want to talk about them, so we should give them.
Don't quote me. Quote yourself.
Hey,
stop blaming me because you want to come for Lando.
I wanted to simply defend Jeremy Doku for a second, but we don't have to. I can defend Jeremy Doku later. We can go straight to our baby blue baddies. Absolutely.
We're going long, and I kind of want to stay with them because they have two cup matches next week, and I just think that that's important to cover.
Hell yeah,
City. Women, our big blue baddies. Hold on. Let's do it right. Hey, baby blue baddies, our Manchester City women's segment. They played Everton 1-2-1. Bunny Shaw goal, 15 minutes. Him 55th minute goal. And Bennison, I'll get to it. They managed to pull one. City had great control throughout the match. Coombs, the first 70 minutes of the match wasn't the best, but she ended the match strong. Yui. Obviously, jet lagged from lots of travel from international play. It wasn't that she was off it. It just Yui has given herself such a standard to expect. And, you know, maybe her passes weren't as sharp. Her defense wasn't as clean. It was small things. I want to start with Bunny Shaw's goal because it was tough. Really breaking them down. Everton had always had between 6 to 8 players in the box whenever City were trying to get into the opposition, maybe get something going on, create a chance. Bunny's goal came from, shout out to Leila Wahabi. It was really her pressing. She ran down a player. She actually ran down three players in the lead up to the turnover that Bunny then got assisted and just slotted it past the keeper. It was beautiful, just defense. That's what you want, especially in this match against Everton, who they're the ones who want to hold their hats on being the defensive person. So if we can come and punch them in the face, score off of a turnover, that kind of throws everything into chaos. nothing much happened from the match in the first half. Lots of chances, a lot of chances. Just a lot of shots right at the keeper. Passes weren't looking so sharp. Jess Spark, she's fantastic. We're seeing what she's learning in real time. She's fading off at the end of matches, but that's just because this is the most football she's played at this level.
I was going to say, I don't think she's all there with the legs. Yeah.
Yeah. And especially the way that she plays. She is, I call her Spark for a reason. She's all over the place, giving her all. I love that energy because it is an inspiration. She can't necessarily be a leader because she's so young, but she can still inspire. She can still uplift her players. And I do believe that she does that with her play on the pitch. Bunny, great with the chase down. The second goal from Hemp in the 55th minute, it was amazing team goal. The ball was worked from the back, patience, taking advantage of the diamond, the triangle, passing it around. The 1-2, when the ball got moved up the pitch, 1-2 between Hemp and Coombs. Coombs makes a beautiful run. A really long, slow curler of a shot that just snuck past the keeper. All I can think is maybe because the ball was moving so slow, that changeup kind of threw the keeper, just like in baseball. When you know the pitcher, high heat, you're so used to the high heat, you throw that changeup, that one half a second is big enough to look a fool when you take a swing. And Benison from Everton, their goal that they scored to take away a clean sheet. I'm tired of losing clean sheets. Unfortunately, that came from a Kiara Keating mistake. She was amazing the entire match. Ball was played back to her. I think she might have was thinking Kirsten was going to run more into the box. So she passed the ball to where she thought she was going, except for there was no one there. Everton scrambled, they got the ball. Had to work very hard for this goal. And if you haven't seen Benison's goal, it's a good one. It was a banger, having a shake. Got open and just snatched a shot, and it beat Kiara. That's the one instance we've seen a couple of times where, hey, if she was that couple of inches taller, same height as Roebuck and MacIver, that maybe it would help. But normally it's not a problem because just above her fingertips. And now I'm just nitpicking and I'm being silly.
Yeah. But I mean, it's fine though. It's fair criticism, but at the end of the day, what we've seen from her all year, yes, we're perfectly fine. It's great.
1,000%.
Yeah. I will say that's the first goal City has conceded since the Manchester Derby in January 24th.
Clamps.
Literally went 5 consecutive shutouts in all competitions. That was the 12th win in a row in all competitions. I believe 10th in the WSL. It's getting real out here, boys. Like
clamps.
This midweek, this Thursday, Sunday double. Oof! I'm nervous.
Tell him, Charlie.
Chelsea look good, bro. Chelsea looks so good with Kat. Kat back.
Yeah, she looks good back. Yeah,
I know. We can talk
we're
about
due,
it.
We're due for the L. I think we lose. I think we lose 1-2.
And it wouldn't be the worst thing because it is a cup competition. It keeps them playing.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, I would love to beat them. I would love to beat them because that also makes our chance one step closer to winning a trophy. And if we, because of the fact that we have to rely on Chelsea dropping points in the WSL, this is one of our few opportunities to get a trophy. I will be intrigued to see the team Chelsea puts out. Will they put out a full-fledged squad? Because, you know, maybe she wants to rest. I don't know. But also, like Sharpie said, chances are going to be out of blood.
I mean, they got Everton Sunday. So, like, I don't think they're like, God, we got this tough double. Yeah, they're going for it. It's a semifinal. Like, this is to get to the finals. I mean, we're going to go hard. I think it's going to be a tough match, but I just think, like, it's really hard to beat a team twice in less than a month, which is the same reason I think on Sunday it's going to be really hard to go to Spurs again and beat them for a third time on the road. Like, that shit is tough. Like, the schedule makers did us no favors. I hope we get it done. We got Khadijah Bunny Shaw. We got Lauren Hemp. We got Chloe Kelly. Like, anything can happen. We got Big Spark. But this is where you miss Jill Roard. I think if we had Jill Roard as another weapon, I would feel like, okay, we got all our guns. We're ready to go in. But at some point, you're going to miss her. Like, we can't win all of the matches. So I'd rather drop one of these than lose in the WSL. That's all I'm saying. I'll take that. Just like men, I'll take the men losing to Newcastle over losing to Liverpool. Like, priorities.
I get it.
All right. Garrett can never say that, and the players won't say it. You know, like, they're going to go for it, of course. But as a fan, okay, give it your best shot. We lose on penalties, or we lose with a banger of a 40-yard Golazo. Okay, game. Good job. We move. But, yeah, Chelsea's, they're real.
Anyone saying a win, though? It sounds like a lot of draws, possibly losing. Well, I guess it's either one or lose. It's either one or lose. Anyone saying a win? I'll say a win. I'm because I just can't say we're going to lose. I think we snatch it. A 4-3. 4-3 win. It's just a banger. Back and forth. Defense can't do anything because just our scorers are just scoring. It's going to be a ball.
It would be nice to get a victory that way. Lately, our victories have been coming with defensive fortitude and staying compact and not giving up a goal. And that's where I think there's rightful hesitation and trepidation that Charlie's pointing out right now with how Chelsea are looking and how we've been winning. So I would love to win a game with putting up four. So let's talk that into existence. I'm right there with you, Kronk. Let's do it. 4-3.
Okay, let's go. What about Tottenham? We can't lose both.
Our favorite score is 1-0, so I say we somehow win 1-0. That's all I got.
Cool.
Yay. Go Spurs. I'm so tired of fucking seeing those jerseys. I'm over them.
Trash jerseys. They're the worst.
They're not great this season. I'll say 2-0, just because I am tired of these 1-0 ones. 2-0. All right. Yeah, we're good. I don't like this energy, though. It's stressful. I was actually really positive going into this week. I know we're playing Chelsea. I know we're playing Tottenham, who makes things ugly. But I was feeling real optimistic and real positive. And I don't have Tom Bomb here to – actually, I'm pretty sure he would just be with you going on Mariah and Katarina. Yeah, it's good.
I will say that, like, I feel very much like the Man City women remind me of the Arsenal men from last season. Where it's your first real title hunt, right? Like, you are really in the shit. And you're going up against the team that has won year after year after year with the manager that's done it over and over and over. And it's really hard until you actually do it. And so the fact that they have that goal differential cushion in WSL, they're scoring more goals than we are. Like, it just – I'm too realistic to be like, oh, my God, no, we're going to overtake them. And you can't be like, goal difference doesn't matter when it's literally like the rest of their season, they should beat everybody. They're going to be the clear favorite in every WSL match the rest of the year because they don't play us. So it's like, yeah, we're missing our top four player. And I think they replaced Sam Kerr, but we haven't been able to like fully replace Joe Ward, even though we love Sparky. It's not the same. And these are the times where you're like, oh, I wish we had that extra body to put in. So I love our ladies. Our baby blue baddies are incredible, and they are going to fight hard, and I hope they win. But I would not bet money on it. I would not bet a dime that City win every other time. Sorry.
I call on Tom to bring us some positivity this week, damn it. I call on him. I rely on him so much. I am going to call and beckon his positivity for this week. Don't you dare give me Ides of March type shit, Charlie. Don't you dare.
He's going to be so mad at me. I'm so sorry, Tom. In your absence, I just went all negative. And I hope I'm wrong. Call me out next week. Call me out next Sunday. We record after the watch along and we get our 6-point Sunday, you know, our cup win and then, you know, 3 points for the men. But yeah, I hope I'm wrong. Perfectly.
Oh, man. Shout out to an amazing week of Shades of Blue shows for you. Wednesday, Breaking Bread with Kyle Carr covering Man City versus Liverpool. We got our lit stream Thursday night. Then Sunday, we got double watch along for you. Check out our Patreon. $6 a month supports our show. We appreciate it. For a price of a delicious latte, cappuccino, if you fancy, maybe a big cold brew. Maybe, honestly, it's like two at a coffee shop. For that a month, a beer, you know, something like that. You go out, maybe a movie. Maybe you wanted to go see Dune 2 three times. Maybe just only go see it twice and join our Patreon. It's always a good idea. Follow us on social media accounts, Twitter, TikTok, Instagram, Threads, Blue Sky. We on all those things. The links are below. Lando, Sharpie, Tarek. Lando, we'll start with you. Please let listeners know where they can find you.
Handles right there in the name. Love that Charlie got me good doing this. Easy segue to do it. I love you, Charlie, for it.
Actually, I'm sorry. I download the raw video, so the names don't. I put names on our videos.
Man.
There goes that. That was hurt. That was real pain.
At LandoMartine. You got to actually get that down. This is why I need to just change my Twitter handle. Man, no, just holla at Shades of Blue. Holla at Shades of Blue. You can get all the content, all the stuff that we do there. Appreciate the support. We love you guys.
I'm actually not going to hit me on.
Find me on Twitter at Sharpie Charlie.
Where we can get experts on the next Dune 2 review, right? Charlie, we're going to get some excerpts on the Dune 2 review. Is that where I can find that?
You got to give people 2 weeks. You got to give people time.
It's a 14-day buffer.
Right. You got to let it breathe. I might go see it again next week. I ain't going to hold you. So, yeah.
It's embargoed like a pep presser.
but tell me I have to let it breathe.
You take it out the oven, let it sit for a minute. Let it rest.
Let it chill.
You might need to go back. You might need to go back in because it's a beautiful film. It's a beautiful film.
Love it.
At Tarek Peterson, TarikPeterson, at Tarek Peterson on X. I don't even believe I said that on Twitter or on Threads. Yep, any of those.
We are Shades of Blue Pod on X. We are on Blue Sky. We are on Threads and Instagram as Shades of Blue US. We are on TikTok as Shades of Blue Pod. We're all over the place. Just type in Shades of Blue. We should pop up. Shady Gang. Those two things. You should be able to find us. And you know the vibes. Shady Gang.
Manchester's Blue.